1 Corinthians chapter 12, just the first 11 verses there. We're going to look at those verses today, and let me just read them for us before we begin. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And, Father, we just again look to you and seek you through these words, through the words of Scripture. We just thank you that we can build everything off on you, God. You are the foundation. Your word is the foundation of truth, and we just want to seek you through your word. And I pray that you'd reveal yourself to us here, even in this time, God, and just make things clear to us and applicable, and please help us to grow in our faith and our understanding, our love, and our service to you. And God, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you probably heard the saying that variety is the spice of life, right? And probably most of us agree with that to a point, right? That it's nice to have variety in life. It kind of adds a little flavor. It adds differences, right? It's nice to try new things, right? Try some food that you've never tasted before. Maybe you'll like it. Try an activity that maybe you've never done before, or meet new friends, read a new author, you know, all those kinds of things. We'd get behind that to a certain point. Now, the kind of the antithesis of that would be that, you know what, there's the tried and true, right? There's the things that we know, that we're familiar with, so why wouldn't I just keep going back to that? Why try something different, right? If I know I like this food, then I'm going to keep going to it. If I know I like this activity or whatever it is, I'm going to keep going back to that. And so I think the mantra for that would be, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, that kind of thing. But I think a healthy dose of each is okay. I think it's okay to kind of have both of those in our lives, where we do kind of know what we like, and we also have a little variety. I think as a couple, as a married couple, we balance each other out a little bit like that. She's the adventurous one. She likes to try new things. She would be the one to always do something different, whereas I'm the one kind of saying, well, why not just do that again? I'm always kind of in my rut, and I like what I like, and I would just go back to it again and again. But it's nice. It's nice that, I mean, we've tried things that I would have never tried if it weren't for Corrine kind of leading the charge in that. And at the same time, sometimes I'm good at kind of reminding us of what kind of things worked in the past. Let's just stick with that. Turning to our text in the passage there in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a couple of repeated words there. The one, the word various or varieties is repeated a number of times, as is the word same, right? So there's this sense of the sameness of things and the variety of things. And it's like the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to this church this balance between variety and sticking with what works, knowing what works. But he's not talking about food tastes and hobbies and things like that. He's talking about spiritual gifts. or some people refer to them as grace gifts. And that's gonna carry us through the next couple of chapters, really, is this theme of spiritual gifts. He begins chapter 12, this kind of a bit of a change. He says now, when he says now, that often indicates that there's a bit of a shift here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, Paul says. He's been talking about the gatherings, and he still is. We're not changing from that theme. We're still under that umbrella theme of the gatherings. But whereas before he was talking about the head coverings and the Lord's Supper, now he's getting into spiritual gifts, grace gifts. And you know, like I said, we're going to be talking about these in different ways for the next few weeks. And so we'll definitely get into it. I won't say everything there's to say today, but these gifts we need to understand, and we'll gain a bit of understanding as we work through it today. But God gifts His children, right? As Tyson demonstrated wonderfully here with the children, God gifts His children, and each one is necessary. And we want to bring that point across this morning. And let's also make a distinction between spiritual gifts and just sort of talents and abilities, right? Because God, I mean, you think of people's gifts, and that would apply to believers and non-believers alike, right? There's some people that have, I would call it a gift, right? A gift of art or music, right? Where they just have an ability to hear music and play it or see something and draw it or whatever it is. And some people are gifted very mechanically and things like that, where they can look at something and I know how this works, and they can figure it out and they can take it apart and put it back together, and it's not an issue for them, right? So those are abilities, and I would call them gifts, but they're not necessarily spiritual gifts, because God, His common grace falls on all mankind, so people have these different abilities and things like that. Whereas spiritual gifts, we're talking about things that are applied in the church. And now, those can be part of it. Those talents can be a part of it. But spiritual gifts are more like these grace gifts. They're spiritual things that are given for the purpose of building up the church. Now, let's just leave it at that for now. And look at what was going on with the Corinthian church, because they were in need of some pretty sound teaching in regards to spiritual gifts. And Paul really gets that out here. I do not want you to be uninformed. It seems that they were fairly uninformed. It's not that they weren't gifted, right? He said they weren't lacking. Like back in chapter 1, he says you're not lacking in any gift. Right, so it's not the fact that they weren't gifted, that they didn't have gifts. The problem with this church was they had come to a point where they were overvaluing some gifts, and by extension, they were overvaluing certain people. And then, on the contrary, they were undervaluing some gifts, and by extension, they were undervaluing a lot of the people in that church. We are, through Paul's teaching, we're going to get into this whole theme of the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues. So I'm not going to say a lot about it right now, but I want to put that out as a bit of an example, that the speaking of tongues, for whatever reason, had become, for the Corinthian church, a gift that they held in the highest esteem. Whereas if someone could speak in tongues, then this was the end all be all almost for giftedness. And I mean to kind of give a little background, you can remember the day of Pentecost, right, when the Holy Spirit came in power upon the apostles. Remember, they started speaking in different languages, and everyone who was there began to hear in their own language. So that would be maybe one example of speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit was speaking through them. There's also this understanding that, as Paul talks about interpretation of tongues, that people were speaking this kind of mysterious language, and there needed to be someone to interpret. And maybe that gave a little bit more punch or authority to the words that were being spoken and in turn interpreted. So maybe some of those ideas that was fixed in the minds of the Corinthian church, that had them so enamored with the gift of tongues that it became this thing where everyone wanted to speak in tongues. Right? But as we're going to see, God doesn't give everyone the same gift. So if everyone thinks that they have that gift, it's going to not create a beautiful tapestry where people are being built up, but rather for them it was creating an atmosphere of chaos where everyone thought, okay, well, if that's such an important gift, then I need to have it. And I think, I mean, I can't prove this or anything like that, but I suspect that a lot of people were faking it. Because you can fake speaking in tongues. You can talk gibberish and no one knows the difference, right? So I think this was going on in the Corinthian church, that it was utter chaos. There may have been some that genuinely had this. Well, there were, right? There had to have been some that were genuinely speaking in tongues. And there were others who weren't, and there was others who were trying, and it was just this utter chaos. And then the other part of it was that people who did not have this gift and probably had a good perspective and realized, well, I don't need to have this gift, but they were looked down upon. Well, you don't have the gift of tongues, so you must be lesser than the ones who do, or supposedly do. Right? So you can see how this was just another theme, another area over which the Corinthian church could become divided and did become divided. They drew the line in the sand on yet another, just another godly topic, right? We had spiritual leaders, right? People who were coming and speaking truth to them, and they had divided over those. They divided over the seeking of wisdom and knowledge. They were divided over that. They had these legal disputes, and they became divided over that. And now here we see they're divided over something like spiritual gifts. So they were in desperate need of Paul's sound teaching around this theme. And so that's where we insert what he's here to say. And I want to kind of sum this up with kind of a broken sentence, I guess. But this is going to lay out where I'm going in this sermon. So here it is. One God, and you'll see this in your outline. One God, all believers, varieties of gifts, one purpose. Okay? One God, all believers, varieties of gifts, one purpose. We'll use that broken little sentence as a bit of an outline. So we begin, as Paul begins, with this most fundamental of understandings in the Christian faith, in the Christian doctrine, in what we believe, that there is one God. Right? There's one true God. He is the only one. There is none other like him. There is none other even close to him. He is three in one, right? He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he exists in three persons, but he is unified. He is one. He is the creator and sustainer of life. He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. He is great, infinitely great in wisdom and knowledge, in might and in power, in understanding. He is sovereign. He accomplishes his will, his perfect will. So God is one. He is one God. And that understanding was crucial, and it is crucial to a proper understanding of spiritual gifts. You see, so because God is one, he is perfectly one, he is perfectly unified, even in the persons of the Trinity, he does not speak against himself. Like Jesus, during his earthly life, never spoke anything against the Father or the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as he works in the lives of believers, never reveals anything contrary to the truth of God's word. So he is perfectly true. He doesn't divide amongst himself. He doesn't divide with himself. He doesn't speak against himself. In verse 3, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So you see, this understanding that God is perfectly unified, and we can't say anything good We can't do anything really, really good for God's benefit without the Holy Spirit. And neither can we, being led by the Spirit, curse God, curse the Lord Jesus. See, no credit can be given to humans for any good, right? We can't take the credit. We have to give the credit to God. And also, no blame can be given to God for any sin, for any falsehood, for any untruth, right? You understand that? So now this understanding of who God is and who we are really feeds into our understanding of spiritual gifts. He is the giver of these spiritual gifts. He is the one who gives. So the fact that they were dividing over these was utter ridiculousness, right? Like it was just appalling that they could divide over something that was being given by the one true God. See how this understanding, it kind of blows away, or it should blow away any divisions, right? It puts us all in our proper place, right? God is God. He is the creator. He's the sustainer of life. He is the one that we need. He does not need us. We are his creation. We are the creatures. We are in desperate need of him. We need him every moment, every day. He gives life, breath to our lungs. He gives life to our minds. He reveals truth to us. He sustains life. He gives us hope for life eternal. We all have the same standing under this one true God, the one great and mighty God, our Father. We all have the same standing. None of us are better or worse than the other. We are all in need of him, every moment, every day. We need him. It's not the other way around. God does not need us. Could it be, and it probably was, that some of the people in that church in Corinth had kind of bought into this false idea that they were indispensable to God's work in that place and at that time, right? My gifts are what are really important here. If God didn't have me, where would he be, right? That kind of false, just anti-Christian kind of thinking. And I think that had crept in, that kind of teaching or that kind of understanding had crept in. But let's not just point at them. Let's point that question back at us, at me. I need to point it to myself. You need to point it to yourself. Could it be? Is there any understanding in us? Is there any action in us that would suggest that we think that God needs us? That without me being up here preaching, God's work in this place would somehow crumble and fall, right? That without what you are doing, right? And I know we would all answer no to that. I don't believe that. I really, truly don't believe that. But then sometimes, what do our actions and attitudes reveal about that, right? We have to really check ourselves on that and make sure that we're not drifting into that kind of understanding where it's like, oh yeah, God needs me somehow, that if I don't do this, God's work is going to crumble and fall and he won't be able to do what he wants to do. Let's be really careful about that, because you see, that's what was going on with the Corinthian church, and that's what was causing so much division for them, right? And I think it led back to just a shifting or a loss of a true understanding of the one true God, right? Let's keep our focus on him, who he is, and who we are on all equal footing under him. Don't elevate anyone in the church, pastor, elder, board chair, don't elevate anyone above any other. Right? There are different personalities, there are different people, there are different gifts, as we're going to get to, but there's none greater than any other. Don't elevate your favorite speaker or author who maybe not is in this church, past or present, right? Don't elevate mankind beyond anyone else, right? We're all on the same footing under God. that kind of understanding, that false understanding that I've been describing, that's what leads to divisions. So one God, right? We recognize one God. He is the giver of gifts and given to all believers. Okay, that's the next broken little piece of my sentence. So one God, all believers. And in this, I want to emphasize, I want to impress upon us that all of us have received gifts, right? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you have received Christ Jesus as your Savior, you've trusted in Him for salvation, for forgiveness, you have come to the understanding that you are lost, that you are broken, that you are a fallen sinner, and you are in need of God's grace to be reconciled to Him, your Creator, your Maker. And if you've trusted Christ for that and His work on the cross, His death and His resurrection on the cross, then you are a believer in Him and you have received gifts from the Father. Just a couple verses here that I want to read. In verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Actually, I should back up to verse 6. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Right? And then to each is given the manifestation. Verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So we need to hold to this understanding that God gives gifts to all of His children. If you are a believer in Jesus, then you are not exempt from that. You have received gifts by God. Contrary to what some teaching has tried to put out, there's not some miraculous anointing or something that happens in the life of the believer aside from that point of salvation, right? That point of when we come to Christ and when He saves us, when He forgives us, right? That is the place, that is the point at which we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, and we receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right? There's not some special anointing of the Spirit or slaying in the Spirit or anything like that that needs to happen in order for you to receive these gifts. This is clearly taught in Scripture. So we need to understand this, right? This does a few things, right? It kind of, again, it puts us all on equal footing, right? It's not that I've been given gifts and you haven't, right? It also it should keep us from kind of getting apathetic in the church pew, right? Thinking, well, I'm not gifted for this kind of thing. I'm just gonna keep my place here. I'm gonna keep my spot warm and go about life that way, right? No, God has gifted you, and we're not trying to put pressure on you or anything like that. It's not a matter of, you know, guilt or anything like that, but it's a matter of you've been gifted by God. And He wants to use those gifts. He wants to use you for the building up of His church. It's not just nice humility to sit in the pews and think, well, yeah, I don't really have anything to offer. And I've thought that before. Believe me, I've been there. But this is not humility. This is a lack of faith in God. It really is. If you're sitting there and you think, oh, I'm not gifted for God's service, well, then you need to trust Him in that and believe Him that He has gifted you. And then the next part, I'll move on from there. So one God, all believers, right? All believers. If you're a believer, you have received gifts. Varieties of gifts. Now here's where, like, for the first little bit, we've been kind of harping on the oneness and the sameness, right? The you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? God is God. We don't want another. We shouldn't want another. It's the same God, and He's good, and He's infinitely good and perfect. There are varieties of gifts, and here's where the variety is the spice of life comes in, right? Varieties of gifts. Let's read a few verses that kind of go around this. Starting verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now pay attention here as I'm reading, and I don't know what your translation says here, but listen to the different words used for gifts and in relation to God, okay? There's varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Okay, so now he's kind of shifted here. Service and Lord, that's referring to Jesus. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God, that's now pointing to God the Father, who empowers them all and everyone. You see how God in his Trinity, in his three in one, is being revealed here, as is the fact that these gifts, there's varieties of them. Right? It's not all the same. It's not meant to be all the same. We're not meant to all be the same. So there's a variety of things. And then he goes on to list some. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. This is not an exhaustive list, okay? Don't misunderstand this. I mean, he's going to go into more as he goes forward in 1 Corinthians. There's other parts in the Bible that talk about other gifts. It's all over, right? And I would even say that the Bible probably doesn't, if you took all the gifts that were listed in the Bible, and some have done this, that probably isn't even an exhaustive list. But maybe you're sitting there thinking, and this is okay, right? To sit there and think, okay, I can get behind this. I mean, one God, obviously, and all believers have been gifted. Okay, I can see that. But how am I gifted? I don't know what my giftings are. I don't prophesy. I don't speak in tongues. I don't heal people, right? Like, what do I do? What's my gift? Well, one commentator I read, really, I think he said some things that were helpful in this, and I want to relay this to you. So these aren't my words. These aren't my thoughts necessarily, but what he did was break these gifts up into three categories. And I think he would apply this to all the gifts that are in Scripture and even beyond. But the categories are prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. So you could, you know, maybe we don't have an exhaustive list of gifts, but you could, if you can find it under those categories, then perhaps that's how God has gifted you. Let's just break them down a little bit. So the prophetic ones, the prophetic gifts, would be those that include speaking, right? Using your mouth and speaking truth, speaking God's wisdom, right? He talks about the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of truth, the speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, like these kinds of gifts, prophecy, right? It's often looked at as a public exercise of a gift, right? Where, like what I'm doing right now is standing up in front of a group and preaching. That's often how this is seen, but it's not just that, right? So don't just write yourself off. If you don't think you'll ever get up and preach, don't just count yourself out, because this could be applied in small group settings or in one-on-one settings, right? So think about that a little bit. Has God used you in a conversation with somebody, a spiritual conversation where maybe they've come to you with some issues and some problems and they're wrestling with something, and you have been able to, by God's Spirit, by His help, speak some clarity to that, right? Speak some truth to that and bring a little bit of perspective and bring God's Word into it. Have you been able to do that? Has God used you in that way? Then perhaps your gifting falls under this category, under the category of the prophetic, right? And that word probably freaks you out a little bit if you think about that. It doesn't mean that you're gonna be like Jeremiah and get up and start "Thus saith the Lord" kind of thing. Maybe you will, and that's okay. We want to talk about what God's saying, but it might not be in a big public forum. It might be in a very small setting. But God uses us to speak His truth, to speak His truth clearly, and to help. That's the big thing, is to help other believers through those words. Okay, so that's the prophetic. The priestly gifts, the gifts that fall under the category of priest, would be more the acts of service, right? The things that you do, right? These priestly gifts. He talks about helps and giving and healing, right? Healing would fall into that, right? And not just, again, we don't want to narrow our understanding of some of these gifts. It's not just I can lay my hands on somebody and they can kick their walker aside and walk and dance and that kind of thing, right? No, but we talk about physical healing, but there's also spiritual healing and emotional and those kinds of healings that can take place that perhaps God has used you in the past to help someone who's broken, who's hurting, who needs a touch. You know, maybe the priestly gifts would be things like maybe you have the ability to discern. And you can look across the room and you can see that person is hurting and they need a word. They need me to come alongside and put my arm around them and pray for them. This is exercising the priestly gifts, right? Where you're doing things. You're it's not necessarily speaking, although speaking falls into so many things. But this is, you know, acting of in service, just through your actions, through your time, through your giving, through your resources, being able to serve God, serve His church, and build up other believers through that. And then there's the kingly gifts, and these would be gifts of leadership, right? Administration, like the gifts where you can lead a group of people. You can cast a vision, and people kind of can get behind that, and you can follow that through. You have administrative gifts to kind of bring things in order and align it, and you can put people in different places. You can you can assign different roles and that kind of thing. These are kingly gifts. These are gifts of leadership. And so perhaps you've seen that in yourself, that people kind of gravitate to you, and they might follow your lead when you're leading in a godly way. And so, I don't know, I found that quite helpful just in kind of, you know, categorizing things and maybe bringing a little clarity there. So I hope that maybe is helpful too. If you're sitting there, and maybe even if you're not, maybe if you haven't thought that and you thought you had it all figured out, but maybe that just adds a little bit to it, and you can say, okay, yeah, I can kind of see maybe how God has gifted me in some of these areas. I mean, there's been, over the years, there's been all kinds of work done in regards to helping believers discover what their giftings might be and that kind of thing. Some good, some probably not so good. There's been just a myriad of teachings and different kinds of focuses around this. But I would say, as a starting point, if this is still something that you're kind of wondering about, maybe a little confused about, I welcome you to come talk to me or one of the elders or another believer, that a mature believer who you trust, and maybe get a little clarity. Talk about that a little bit. See how other people what they've been able to observe in you. Sometimes that can be really, really helpful in regards to that. But here we want to really emphasize the variety of gifts, right? That God has been so intentional about gifting us in a variety of ways. And as we move forward, and I'm kind of teasing out some of the future sermons, but as Paul goes into his metaphor of the body, we're really going to see this play out, where he talks about how one member can't just do it all on their own. You can't just be an ear, right? The body just can't be that. You need all the members of the body. Just like they can't just be, like a whole bunch of kings, right? And everyone trying to lead, it's not going to work. Or a whole bunch of prophets or whatever, right? Like you can't, it just doesn't work that way. But God in His wisdom has done this and has gifted all believers in a variety of ways. And then I want to just kind of bring it around here for the final point for that one purpose. And this is, he talks about the common good in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then in verse 11 again, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So those two, the common good and as He wills, we need to remember those, right? That God has a plan, right? He has a purpose. We are here in this place, this group of believers, today, right? On July the 23rd, Sunday, in 2023 in White Court, Hilltop Community Church. He has us here today for a purpose, according to his will, for the common good. God has a purpose and a plan for the ways in which he has gifted you and the ways in which he has gifted me and the opportunities he's given to us as a church. That I look across this room and there are gifts here. There are abilities here that God is building in you, has given to you, and is growing in you that are going to be used by God for his good purposes. And this is a beautiful thing, right? This is where, you know, we don't just say, well, if it's God doing it all, then I can just kind of kick back and do nothing. No, that's not what Paul was teaching, and that's not what I want to teach through this text. It's that God has gifted you to serve him, to help build up his church for this common good of building up the body. And it's according to his will. So, just seeing him work through us, it is a good thing. It is a beautiful thing. And to see a variety of gifts in the church, on the church board, amongst a team. So just to kind of bring it home a little bit, how is God speaking to you in regards to how he has gifted you? How do you think God wants to use you? And again, this isn't a matter of pressure or guilt or, oh, now I gotta go volunteer at Awana, and or I gotta sit on the church board or that kind of thing. Well, maybe he is telling you that, but maybe not. There might be other ways. There are other ways. There's a lot of other ways in which to serve him, in which to serve his church. And you have giftings for those things. So pray about it. Talk to someone about it and exercise those gifts. And as we do this, and I can speak from experience, as we exercise our gifts, it's not always easy. Don't think it's going to be like a smooth sailing road or whatever. There are challenges, but man, the contentment and the joy that he brings to our hearts as he uses those gifts, as you see him using you for his good purposes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words from the Apostle Paul, and really your words as you used him. Lord, you used Paul and in his ability to write these things down to this church and ultimately to us. Father, thank you for your teaching here. Thank you for your church and for each one that is here. Thank you for the many ways, just the ways that you have gifted us. Lord, according to your wisdom and your will, you have given gifts to us. Help us, Father, not just to be recipients of those gifts, but to be givers of those gifts. That we don't just want to take them and hold on to them, but to give them back to you, to give them to one another, to give them to your church, and let you use us for the ways that you have intended. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for each one who's here and just the chance that we've had to come and worship you together. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.